It is impossible to both live and think in the absolute. And there's a lot of confusion about this out there, and I'm going to solve that confusion today by using some comments made to me by some of my friends, and I don't think these friends would be upset. I'm not going to mention names, to use their comments as a teaching opportunity. Need to talk about the absolute and the relative. I bring it up a lot. It's an important topic. It solves a lot of scriptural problems, what appear to be contradictions. Let me define the terms. An absolute viewpoint is a viewpoint that takes nothing else into consideration except the ultimate cause of all things. And in the absolute viewpoint, we know that all is of God. God does all things work together for good. God is in everything, and you can't get more absolute than that. The buck stops here. The relative viewpoint, the root word there is relative. In the relative viewpoint, we're relating things to other things. We're relating events to other events. We're relating people to other people. Again, the key is relating. With God, with the absolute viewpoint, you're not relating it to anything. It's just considering one thing and one thing only, and that's the cause of all things. And the cause of all things is God. So along that line, I had a friend tell me several times that, Martin, I live in the absolute. And what he was trying to tell me was that he lives in the absolute. That's what he was trying to tell me. And I told him that it was impossible to live in the absolute. And he takes offense at that I would tell him it's impossible for you to do that. But here's why. The fact that he started his statement with the pronoun I proves that he doesn't understand what the absolute viewpoint is. Because by using the pronoun I, he was distinguishing himself from other people. I live in the absolute. He actually contradicts himself twice in one short sentence, proving that he doesn't do the thing he claims to do. Again, this is a teaching moment. I love this man. I respect him. I'm just using his statement to make a point, an important point. When you claim to do something, I did this, I did that. I've actually had this happen to me before, where I will use the word I in a statement, either in writing or in speaking, and people will say, you're so arrogant, you say I. It's God that does these things. God does these things through you. Why do you keep saying, I do this, I do that? Well, that is an ignorant statement because it assumes that one who uses the pronoun I denies the ultimate fact that God is the one operating in me. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. God operates in me to will and to work for the sake of his delight. Yet we cannot help but live in the absolute, in the relative, where we do compare ourselves to other people. We do this all the time. You tell somebody, I will go to the grocery store. You don't have to. I'll do it. You're relating yourself to some other person. So it's not the absolute. If you want to take the absolute, it would be absurd. You would say, God is going to the grocery store. I did it, but they didn't. God did it, but God didn't. You see, it's absolutely absurd. And the mere use of the personal pronoun denies it. I had this issue with my books. I might have related this to you before. Some people have said it's wrong of me to put my name on my books as though I wrote the book, because I've been told it's God. God gives you the wisdom. God is writing the book. And so my response was, well, what's the practical way to deal with that? Should I just put on my book God? The first idiot in heaven by God. I'd get in trouble for that too. Who do you think you are, Zender? See, so I can't win there. So I do the normal thing, the same thing. The only thing I can do is I put my name on it. I wrote it as compared to you writing it, as compared to Juliana writing it. Juliana didn't write that book. I wrote it. And I make people aware of that fact by putting my name on the book. It does not cancel out the fact that God is operating in me to will and to work. So anytime you distinguish yourself from someone else, you are living in the relative viewpoint. So that concerns distinguishing, relating people to other people. What about things? What about thoughts? Anytime you deliberate between two things, whether good things or evil things or right things or wrong things or any things, you can have the knowledge. Here's the difference. You can't live. You can't think in the absolute, but you can know about the absolute. And this is where many people don't even know that there is an absolute viewpoint. Many people don't even know that it is God who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will. So if you're debating whether to go to work or not, or if you're debating whether to do a good thing or a bad thing, anytime you're relating one event or one possibility to another possibility, you are living in the relative viewpoint. So my friend contradicted himself, first of all, by the use of the pronoun I. I, and I pointed this out to him. He says, I live in the absolute, Martin. I said, well, if you did, you could not use the pronoun I because you're relating yourself to other people, to me, to your wife, to your kids. This is the way you do it. So you're that's a relative statement. That frustrated him a little bit. And then I said, and you contradicted yourself a second time by saying that you live in the absolute. As compared to what? Relating to what? Relating to the relative. So you've already made a decision on between two possibilities, the absolute and the relative. And just by relating one possibility to another possibility, you're living in the relative. It is impossible to live in the absolute. It's impossible. It's impossible to even think in the absolute, because anytime you even entertain possibilities, and you do that all day, you do it all day. If you're sleeping, I think I'll roll over on my left side. Compared to what? Compared to your right side. I think I'll put a jacket on before I go out. Compared to what? Related to what? Related to not putting on a jacket. I actually had a man tell me that there's no such thing as good and evil. Yeah, he actually told me that. He was drunk at the time, so I had to excuse him for that. I didn't, wasn't too hard on him. But I know where he was coming from. But you just can't say that, because it's simply not true. He's coming from this all is of God. God is working all together for good. So there's really no good or evil. God's working everything together. So it doesn't matter. There's no distinguishing between good and evil, which is absolutely, it's a drunken statement. It's fueled by an overindulgence of alcohol, because no sober person could say and maintain that there's no such thing as good and evil in the world and there's no difference between it. Who's the most knowledgeable person on these matters in the world would be Paul. And I often point out to you that Paul distinguishes between believers and unbelievers, between light and darkness, between Christ and Belial. He's always telling people not to sin, do the right thing. All these relative. He's relating sin to not sinning. He's relating light to darkness. He's relating Christ to Satan. Constantly, constantly exhorting people to do what? The right thing. Oh, that's an absolute statement. No, it's not. It can't be. It's a relative statement. It's a relative statement comparing, relating good to bad, proper decisions to improper ones. When you're, here's how ridiculous it would be if anyone could actually live, actually live in the absolute viewpoint. It's like you'd be coming up to a stop sign in your car and you'd be saying, I can't stop unless God causes me to stop. And so you just sit there and you don't put on the brake, as opposed to putting on the brake. It's up to God. Well, that's true. It is up to God. God is operating in you. And if God doesn't cause you to put on the brake, you won't put on the brake. But because God has constituted us this way, and because he's put opposing things, saturated the world with opposing things, so you're coming up to a stop sign and you say, I got to stop here. Relative, relative, relative. It's all relative. I, not you, not Juliana, not my friend. I have to stop here. As related to what? To not stopping. And again, whoever thinks without relating two or more possibilities? All you need is two possibilities to eliminate thinking in the absolute. And I do, going back to my book example, I do like to tweak people sometimes. I kind of torment people who don't understand this, and I don't torment them for long. I torment them for a little bit. I say things like, hey, guess what? I gave somebody the truth today and I saved them. I saved somebody today. And boy, I take the heat for that. What do you mean you saved them? You can't do it. Only God can save people. No, I said I saved them. And I get them opposing me and oppressing me and getting all upset about it. And then, of course, I go to 1 Corinthians, 9:22. When Paul says, if that's not right, I'll correct it in the margins here. But where Paul says, I become all things to all people that I might save some. That I might save some. Again, on two points, Paul is living in the relative. He is saving them, relatively. Yes, he is saving them. He's the one giving them the words. Do you think that Paul entertains the idea for a second that God is not absolutely doing it through him? Of course he knows that. Of course he knows that I can't do anything. Even Jesus said that I can do nothing except what the Father gives me to do. That's a given. This is where we can't live in the absolute. We can't even think in the absolute, but we can know about the absolute. So even while I'm doing something compared to you doing it, even while I'm choosing to do a good thing as opposed to doing an evil thing, I know that even while I'm living in this relative, speaking in this relative world, and thinking in this relative world, at the same time, I know. That's the difference. The knowledge of it, that God is operating all these things together for good. Here's another ridiculous example of it, just to prove that people who claim to be living in the absolute can't be. It would be like sitting in your car. I've given you this example before. I give it again because it's so good. We know that the rain comes from God. God sends the rain. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. Of course, we know that. So, you're sitting in your car, you're driving your car, and you have this horrible rain coming up against your windshield. Are you not going to engage the windshield wipers? Because, well, it's of God. I should have prefaced that with another argument that I get all the time. People say to me, Martin, why do you go so hard on Christians? Why do you go so hard against evil? It's all of God, Martin. God is doing all of these things. You have no right to criticize people who are doing what they do only because God makes them do what they do. I say, what? What? Again, and that, going back to the example, that's like saying that because God sends the rain on my windshield while I'm driving, I have no right to engage my windshield wipers. I have no right to do that. God sent that rain, Martin. What right do you have to get rid of it? Okay, you can see how stupid that is in that example. It's just as stupid in the other example. Here's why. Yes, of course God made people hard. Of course he makes them stubborn. Of course he makes Christianity go against him. And it's my job to use my windshield wipers, to get rid of them, to criticize them, to show how they're wrong. These things are not contradictory. One is the absolute viewpoint, one is the relative viewpoint. And it's the absolute viewpoint. This is a view that you can have. It is a knowledge that you can possess, but you can't think in it, and you can't live in it. Again, just by using the pronoun I, you've contradicted yourself. And just by saying that you live in the absolute, you've contradicted yourself again because you're choosing it over another option. You're relating it to another thing called the relative. everything works toward good. So if you look at it in the absolute, it's all of God, it's all good, it's all pure. But as we relate to people and things and thoughts and possibility, yes, there is evil. And to speak of being, there's being no such thing as evil or good is a terrible mistake. If you even attempt to think this way, not that you can only do it when you're drunk. If you can even attempt to think this way, it would devitalize you. It would make you just sit in your chair waiting for God to move you. It would make you drive your car and not put the windshield wipers on. It would make you not able to criticize anybody, not able to instruct anybody. How can you instruct somebody if all is of God? Martin, you should, that guy needs to hear the truth. You should take your book and give that to that guy. Why? It's all of God. God made that guy believe what he does. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Oh my gosh, what difference does it make whether you decide to get drunk and rob a bank today or not get drunk and not rob a bank? It makes a huge difference. If you get drunk and rob a bank, you're gonna end up in jail for a long time. If you don't get drunk and don't rob a bank, you won't end up in jail. There's a big difference between being in jail and not being in jail. Big difference. It's the relative perspective. We live in it. I would not have any of you to be crippled by even attempting to live in the absolute viewpoint. If you are, you won't do anything. You won't feel any need to share the evangel. You won't see any emergencies anywhere. You'll just shrug your shoulders if somebody's doing wrong. Well, all's of God. Well, God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Martin, should I get drunk and rob a bank? Well, God's not, there's no such thing as good and evil. So I guess it doesn't matter whether you do or not, because there's no such thing as good and evil. This is debilitating thinking, it's ridiculous thinking, it's drunken thinking, and let us consider these things in a sober way. Tomorrow I'm going to give you an example of the Apostle Paul believing in the absolute, knowing the absolute, knowing the absolute, and yet knowing it, he can't help but act in the relative.